right. Good morning, everyone. Man, it is so good to be here with you all. And I mean, what an amazing worship team we got here. I mean, leading us in worship, you guys just consistently, every Sunday, just so good. But you know, my name is John Novak. Me and my wife, Faith, we lead the campus ministry here in New Jersey. And, you know, the good news is, you know, I shared this at some of our park services this summer, but the good news is that I was just hired on as a full-time campus minister. Thank you. And back in June. And that's really, just truly all thanks to your contribution, is that that makes it possible. And that's what enables Faith and I to just trying to be cranking on campus and, you know, try to make things happen and do Bible studies and help people fall in love with Jesus. And, you know, it's been an amazing semester so far. You know, I think Faith shared this, you know, 2 weeks ago, but so far this semester, we've seen two people make Jesus the Lord of their life. And Lewis and Woosna, they're here today. And, you know, God is always working, doing something awesome here. And, but I'm excited to share a message from God's Word this morning. And the title of my message today is One Thing Over Everything. The question I have for you this morning is, what's worth giving your life to? Everyone gives their life to something, right? Whether you know it or not. Today, you are giving your life to something. And there's too many things that aren't worth giving your life to. But in fact, there's only one, right? And some believe that the one thing worth giving your life to is fame, is popularity, is people to look at you, right? You could give your life to be famous. But that won't last, right? There's too many famous people who really aren't happy, right? That can't be worth your life. That can't be the one thing. Some believe that the one thing is money, that you could give your life to be rich, right? But money is temporary, right? The Bible says that in 1 Timothy 6, that anyone who wants to get rich will fall into a trap, and that money is the root of all evil, right? And so that can't be the one thing to give your life to. Someone say the one thing is you, is yourself. And that one, I don't know about you guys, but I already tried that, and it didn't work. And just take my word on that one, you know. But, you know, there's also hundreds, thousands of religions and philosophies that many would say is the one thing to give your life to. The people will claim to be true, but they can't all be true, right? They can't all lead to life. And if you chase a belief just because it feels comfortable or sounds wise, you might give your whole life to something that can't actually save you. History is full of spiritual people and movements that rose and fell. Ideas come and go, but truth doesn't change. Right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if that's real, then every other path, no matter how inspiring, will eventually leave you empty. And at some point, you've got to realize that Jesus is not just another option to give your life to, but truly the only eternal thing that's worth your life, the one thing over everything. And Peter gets this. In John 6, I love the scripture, John 6, verse 66, says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, the context here is that Jesus just dropped some new challenging teachings. And unfortunately, many people didn't believe it. It was too hard. Maybe people left Jesus. They turned back. Maybe because they thought there's another option that there might be an easier way. And after they left, Jesus turned to his closest followers and said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter's answer has got to stick with you. I mean, I love what Peter responds with. He says, "Where else would I go?" Right? What else would I give my life to? You have the keys to heaven. Right? And I don't know if you caught it, but I'm so inspired by Beverly's communion. You know, I don't know if you caught it, but she said, "Hey, to me, it's about eternity." And that, she gets it, right? She has that spirit, and it's so inspiring. And thank you for sharing communion, Beverly. I don't know where you're at, but you did an amazing job. But she gets it, right? And it reminds me of Peter's words, right? That Jesus wasn't another option to give himself to. Jesus was the only way to truly live. Even if it was hard, Jesus is Lord. You know, most churches today teach that Jesus doesn't really need to be your Lord, right? As long as you believe, right? That's easier, but it's not true. That's not what Jesus called people to. So you could spend your years chasing the next degree, the next job, the relationship. You could fill your calendar with things that feel important, but if Jesus isn't your Lord, you're still missing the one thing. You'd be missing the one life that actually satisfies. And that's why Peter says, "Lord, where else would I go?" Right? You have the words of eternal life. If that's true, if he really is the only one with the words of eternity, then what else are you going to be truly ambitious for? Where else would you go? And, you know, as I said, everyone is ambitious for something. Comfort, yourself, right? Selfish ambition. Money, people think of us highly. So the question isn't if you're ambitious, it's what are you ambitious for? Is it for one thing or the one thing or other things? But here's the danger, is that we could pour all that energy into things that feel important, but completely miss what matters most. I want to look at a story today in Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. It's a story about two sisters, Mary and Martha, because their encounter with Jesus shows us how easy it is to be busy, ambitious, even doing good things, yet still miss the one thing that matters most. And so Luke 10, verse 38 to 42, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Come on. Help me out here.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" And so, what's worth giving your life to, right? Jesus says there's one thing. There's one thing that's necessary. And it's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we see it clearly in the story of Martha and Mary, that here's the thing, is that there are a few common ways that even good people get pulled away from what lasts forever. And in this story, I want to highlight three things that could show up in our lives. And the first thing that stuck out to me here was that Martha had desires. She had a desire. And I want to notice how the story begins in verse 38, right? It says, Martha opened her home to Jesus, but Martha was distracted. Martha opened her home to him. She desired to be with Jesus, but wouldn't give him her attention. She didn't prioritize him over these other things, right? She wanted Jesus without changing what she gave her attention to. And I think this is a common dilemma, right? We want things, but then aren't willing to do what it takes to get there. And something, you know, something that keeps us from the one thing is just priorities, right? And, you know, when I was little, I loved Kobe Bryant. And he was the man. You know, I'd be practicing my fadeaway shot in the driveway. And, you know, catch me in the gym after church, still today trying to work on it. But, you know, I wanted to be that skilled, right? I wanted the fame. That was the dream, right? And I believed that even as a short white guy, I could do it, right? I mean, look at Jason Kidd. He might be before your time. But the problem was that as I got older, I started to see what it would take, right? The practice every day. I would actually have to make more than 1 out of 10 three-pointers, right? The problem was just that I wasn't willing to do what I had to do to get what I desired. And I had the desire, but not the priorities to get there. And we all desire to be like Jesus, but sometimes aren't willing to do the things we need to do to be like him. And that's exactly what happens with Martha, right? She wanted Jesus, she opened her home to him, but her desire didn't shape her decisions. Like, we want the life to the full that Jesus speaks of, right? We want the peace. We want that faith. We want the self-control. We want that life. I mean, how often do we want something good but aren't willing to do what it takes to make it real? And it might sound like to us, hey, I want to grow in my faith, but I don't have time to pray for longer than a few minutes. I want to take my sin seriously, but I don't need to confess to people. I want to be a great disciple, but I don't want to get individual help. I want the Bible to be my standard, but maybe I don't have to get baptized. I want to see the church prosper, but maybe they don't need my small contribution. Right? It's these desires are good, right? We want these things. We want to be a great disciple. We want to see the church prosper, right? Martha wanted Jesus there. You want to grow. I want to grow, to know God, to have a faith that's alive. But our actions sometimes don't align with our ambitions. And that's why Jesus gently calls Martha out, not to shame her, but to invite her to something better. He says, hey, I don't just want a place in your house. I want the first place in your heart. And that's where the next challenge shows up. Because even when we do want Jesus, something else can still crowd him out, right? And so that's where you see Martha was distracted. She was distracted. And in Luke 10, back in the same scripture, right? It's not that Martha stopped loving Jesus. She just let the noise of a good thing pull her away from the best thing. You know, Luke 10 says, Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by the preparations. You know, when you're distracted, that's like one of those words that you know what it means, but you gotta like look it up, the definition, just in case, you know? And it means having one's thoughts or attention drawn away, right? She wanted to be with Jesus, but other things drew her away. And what Jesus says later is interesting. He says Mary chose what was better, right? Which means that what Martha chose to prioritize wasn't bad, but there was a better option. He says only one thing was necessary, and Martha was giving herself to something else. And Martha was distracted from the one thing that was necessary. There was lots of good things to do, but they were temporary. You know, I love that it says at the end here that Mary chose what was better and it will not be taken away from her. And I think about, well, what did Jesus mean when he said that? You know, I think it was that Martha chose the temporary, right? The meal she was making would be eaten and forgotten, unless it was my mom's meal. Then it's unforgettable. The floors she swept would become dirty again. right? But what Mary chose was something that would last forever, right? She chose the one thing necessary to be with Jesus. She chose to prioritize the eternal over the temporary. And, you know, what about us, right? What in your life is keeping you from sitting at his feet today? And just like Martha, it could be even something good keeping you from something better. Like Martha was serving. That's a good thing, but it kept her from the best thing. And I think I really feel this sometimes, especially working in the ministry. And it's hard work. I'm busy, right? I do a lot of planning. I write lessons, Bible studies. Maybe your busyness just looks different. But I'm guilty of sometimes letting these good things I'm busy with crowd out the best thing, which is just being with Jesus. You know, I could spend hours, honestly, crafting sermons and organizing events and still realize that I've barely prayed and barely listened to him in the Word. It's subtle, but there's these things that look spiritual on the outside, but if it replaces sitting at his feet, it's just another distraction. Good things become a barrier when they keep you from the one thing. You know, when someone is distracted with something, sometimes what's really happening is they're just delaying it, right? Because Martha probably thought, hey, once I finish these preparations, then I'll sit down to be with Jesus, right? That's kind of how we think, right? Is once I just do this, then later, right? Delay is another thing that could keep us from the one thing. And there's a great example of this in Acts 24, verse 25, 24 and 25. And the context here is that Paul, he's in prison under a Roman governor named Felix. And Paul starts to basically preach the gospel to Felix. And here we see Felix's reaction. And so Acts 24, verse 25. It says, several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you." You know, Felix is a living picture of the danger, right? You could feel stirred, even meet for Bible studies consistently, and still keep Jesus at an arm's length because now is not a convenient time. And that's a subtle form of distraction that Martha faced, right? The one that we face, right, is I'll pray when life slows down. I'll confess when the timing's better. I'll study the Bible when work isn't so crazy, but when school really slows down. So don't delay, right? Jesus' invitation is always now. Delayed obedience is really just disobedience. Because every not yet is really a quiet no. But I love that Jesus is just patiently waiting for us to see it, right? He doesn't command her. He doesn't command Martha. He just wanted what was best for her. He says, it's okay, you're busy, but think about what's better. And it's encouraging that the chance to choose Jesus is always right now. And Martha, honestly, she gets a bad reputation from this story. But I think her story and her transformation, even throughout the rest of the gospel, is so inspiring. And so once someone is ready to desire the one thing, put aside distractions from the one thing, then they're ready to declare the one thing. And in John 11, verse 21 and 27, there's another story about Martha and Mary. And it's estimated to be a few months later than Luke 10. And it takes place right after the death of Martha's brother, Lazarus. And here you'll get to see this transformation that Martha goes from the first story. In verse 21, it says, "Lord, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." You know, the powerful words of Martha here, to me, echoes Peter's words in John 6, right? "You're the Messiah, the Holy One of God. Where else would I go?" And Martha becomes the first woman to clearly declare Jesus as the Messiah. And like others in the Bible, it's not a speculation, right? She's not like, "Oh, this could be the Messiah. This could be the one guy, right? This could be the thing worth giving my life to." She says, "You are the Holy One of God. This is the one thing over everything." And to Martha, Jesus was the one thing worth giving her life to. Even to recognize, too, in this story that she declares this in her grief of losing her brother. And that's amazing, right? She moves from desire to be with Jesus in Luke 10 to distraction and to finally declaration. You know, for us, the question is, have you declared Jesus as the one thing worth giving your life to? Maybe you've been following Jesus casually. You've been only prioritizing Jesus in your free time. Or you're going through something hard, right? That's also something really real, like Martha is. She's grieving over her brother. But I think what's inspiring is that Martha reminds us that the right response in any circumstance, grief, fear, busyness, uncertainty, the right response is to declare Jesus as Lord. She chose the eternal over the temporary, and she committed her life to the one thing that will never be taken away. And Martha identifies the one thing. Nothing else is more important than this, right? She has a declaration. Nothing would pull her, not even when things get hard, because she found the one thing over everything. And, I was really, when I was reading this and thinking about the one thing over everything, I was reminded of a campus student named Divine. And, Divine was baptized about 3 months ago now. And that's when he declared Jesus as Lord. And, that's Cam and Divine in the middle there. And he is a student at William Patterson. And, he's doing great over there. And, a few weeks ago, though, he started facing some unexpected conflict from his family and about following Jesus. And, the conflicts started kind of making transportation to get to church and these other services difficult. And for a college student, transportation is everything, right? And, his family clearly loves him, wanted the best for him. But Divine's path just looked different than what they thought. But what's inspiring is that even though he was facing this conflict, he still found a way, right? And he came to everything. He was joining Bible studies. He's still sharing his faith. I mean, it's amazing. It's clear that he truly has declared Jesus Lord. And he has desire to be with Jesus and didn't get distracted, right? He's giving his life to the one thing that won't ever be taken away from him. And an amazing part about this too is that he's still honoring his family, loving them, and just is still an example for them. And it's an amazing testament of someone's conviction to, "I'm going to stick to this thing that I committed to." And to close out, when you look at Martha's journey, it's really the journey that every one of us has to take, from desire, facing distractions, to finally making a real declaration. right? Desire alone isn't enough. Distraction will always compete for first place. And when you finally declare, like Martha did, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, everything else takes its rightful place. And so let me ask you the same question from the start. What's worth giving your life to, right? Where else would you go? What else would you do with your time? Is Jesus simply one more thing on your calendar, or is he the one thing over everything? So don't delay like Felix. Don't wait for a convenient time, because there's nothing worth putting off Jesus for. And so what distractions are you letting back in? Where do you need to return to his feet and say again, you are the Holy One of God, where else would I go? And so let's be a people who choose the eternal over the temporary, and who put the one thing over everything, and let's do it today. Thank you guys so much for letting me share. Amen.